Businesses and investments get cheaper when inflation decreases and interest rates rise. We are now in a buyer's market. Hi, I'm Joe Grouse. I'm the host of the Buying Online Businesses podcast. And today I'm speaking with Stacey Caprio, who is a website investor, entrepreneur, and owner of Her.CEO, where she talks about making money online. Now, she's invested her profits from website investing into a Georgetown, Texas duplex a few years ago and now invests in websites and real estate. And Stacey is also a realtor in Austin, Texas, and she's the owner of Heart of Austin Homes, and in her free time she likes to walk her parents' dog Cooper or run or walk around the Austin River Walk, which is very close to where she actually lives. And she talks about buying websites and also real estate, and she's happy to help with anything around that area. Now, in this podcast episode, Stacey and I talk about what it's like working in the corporate world and making the transition from corporate world to making money online and working for yourself. I also share my experience of commuting and pains of working for somebody else and how you can get the courage, use that to start doing your own thing. We just talk about first website she ever bought, what she learned from it, why it was a bit of a flop. Then we talk about other websites that she bought, what she learned from that, what she learned through due diligence. She gives you advice, and we share a bunch of advice on due diligence, what to do when you're buying a website because you don't want to get taken advantage of or scolded. We also talk about what she more so does now, not so much buying websites, but starting them from scratch and growing them, and how long it takes to her find out which sites are worth continuing on, which can be many years, and then also what percentage of sites that she doesn't continue working on that are a bit of a flop. And she pushes them to the wayside. And as you could imagine, it is an alarming amount that, you know, we know that most startups don't actually succeed. So you need to start with a big portion size and dwindle your way down to finding those one or two that actually do work and be very patient in that aspect too. We also discuss her experience selling a site, what you should do if you're going to sell a site, and so much value in this podcast episode. We talk about market fluctuations, prices, multiples, buying at the right time, understanding market cycles. There's so much value in here. But before we get started, make sure you get my due diligence framework. It's what I use and my clients use to take the guesswork out of buying businesses, save people millions of dollars, and made people millions of dollars. So make sure you get that, buyingonlinebusiness.com/free resources. And now let's dive into the pod. Do you have a website you might want to sell either now or in the future? We have a hungry list of cashed up and trained up buyers that want to buy your content website. If you have a site making over $300 per month and want to sell it, head to buyingonlinebusinesses.co/sell-your-business or email us at info@buyingonlinebusinesses.com because we will likely have a buyer. Details are in the description. Hello, Stacey. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you for coming on.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I'm looking forward to chatting. I first want to ask, like, so you've bought a couple of websites and online businesses and you've got a fair bit of experience doing this now. What did you do before all this? Like, what was your, did you have a regular, like, 9-to-5 day job, or what did you do before all this?
Yes, I worked in marketing. I had regular 9-to-5s for the first 3 years that I was out of college. I started out doing paid Google ads for companies, e-commerce companies at an agency. And then I moved to doing Facebook and Pinterest ads at a different agency for venture-backed companies. So we had a much higher budget. And then I worked for a single company doing their paid ads, a financial services company. So I kind of started in the agency world, and then I went to a single financial services company, just running paid ads, doing marketing. So it was kind of nice because I got to set my own strategy. Like, I got to create the strategies for the ad campaigns. I got to execute on those, and I got to see the results and share them with people. So like, there was a lot that was like nice in there because I had freedom in that sense. But the main thing that really made me feel trapped each day is I was going in every single day at the same time, driving 30 minutes to an hour, taking the Boston T in one of my jobs for like an hour every day, sitting there, like feeling I didn't own my time. And I just remember feeling so anxious because each day I'd go in, I was like, this is not me choosing how to spend my time. Like, I'm not in control of my day to day. And it made me feel very like a lot of anxiety. That was not like mentally or physically like healthy, because and the jobs were very nice, and like even my cubicles were like spacious and nice, and the coworkers were nice, but the lack of freedom was very crippling to me. And then also knowing that my salary was so capped, no matter the results I put in, also made me feel very, very badly, because I knew even if I got these insane results, it wouldn't reflect in my salary. So both of those things kind of contributed to me really starting to look for ways to have my own business and income where I could control my time and where my inputs, I'd be able to see that reflected in my income.
Yeah. It's wild to think, I don't know how long you've been doing this, but I quit my job as a plumber. The last work that I did was in 2015. And I used to drive an hour and a half to work. And then with traffic, it'd be 2 hours on the way home. And then I'd do that 6 days a week. So let's just say, you know, 3 hours in the car consistently every day times six. There's 18 hours I sat in the car. Luckily that your job, you enjoyed the environment in terms of like the people in the space. I was a plumber and I hated it. So like I really can see like just in the, like this, it's crazy that how long we or many of us have or do sit in the car unpaid, burning time, trying to get to a job that we're not super fulfilled in. Like even like for you, as I think like that role is a great role because it would have helped you so much in what you're doing now. However, like if you had a little bit of, if I was the boss, I guess, or, you know, if I was able to like run an agency in that way, like for digital marketing in terms of paid ads, as the campaign scaled and the results grew, the individual who provided those results, why would I not want to keep them on board by giving them some sort of like reward to stay, you know, some sort of incentive. So how did you come to the whole buying online business, like buying websites and stuff space? Like how did you get out of this transition over to it?
Yeah, I, like you said, my job, I actually was kind of exposed to I started to see other entrepreneurs in my field write these case studies of how they broke into owning their own business or buying websites. And that allowed me to see that something was possible. And that inspired me to start taking action. And I think to address your other question too about how bosses don't, like you would give an employee a profit share. It's funny because I think at bigger companies, it doesn't even cross anyone's mind because your direct boss doesn't have control over that. And then like the people up high don't want to be giving profit, but it's interesting. It's people get greedy, I think, or they just don't consider it. Really the only place you see that is sales roles. I think sometimes they get a little commission, but even then it's like so capped. But yeah, I was inspired by, I'm sure you've heard of Spencer Hobbs' Niche Pursuits blog. Yeah, I saw a guest post about someone who had gotten success through buying a website on Flippa. And I was so inspired. I went out that weekend and I was like poring over websites for hours until I found one and I bought it. It was a $1,400 site. It said it was making $350 a month via Amazon affiliate ads. And then I got it and I was so happy because like the first day I got like a dollar commission, I think. And it was just so cool to see that show up in my account. It's like, oh, this actually works. And then I realized over like 2 weeks, it had only made like, I think like $20 or something. So he had like really inflated revenue. And that it ended up just being a waste of my money. Like I didn't make back even the full $1,400. So there's just a lot that goes into buying sites because like, you have to really verify. You can't just blindly trust people. And I think that was when I went into it, I just thought, oh, no one's going to lie about, I just didn't even think about it. I think I was too like blindly optimistic because I wanted it so much. Whereas like anyone in this field kind of knows once you start going, you really have to verify numbers yourself and make sure that what you're buying is actually what they're saying and that's something good that you can actually grow.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I guess you probably chalk that up to a good learning experience. How many websites or online businesses have you bought now? Do do you think?
Yeah, I went on to buy another one that I actually only made back like 80% of the revenue. That one was much more expensive, but it ended up kind of fizzling out. And then my third and fourth site purchases were very successful. Those are when I really started to see how powerful buying sites were and how you could grow them. And you got like huge just deposits in your bank account each month. I bought six websites total, and I bought a handful of expired domains and grown some of my own sites too. But I've actually found recently, like the past few years, I haven't bought any like websites. I've focused more either buying an expired domain and building a site or growing my own brands, because multiples have gotten so expensive. When I started, I have been working for myself for about the same time as you for the past 7 years, I think. And when we started, the multiple was like, I bought my first few sites for 20 times the monthly profit. And now sites are they going for like 60 or 80 times monthly profit? They're just so high. It's like a little bit hard to like justify for me a lot.
It's not at that at the moment. Like as this podcast goes out, like start of the year in, you know, close to, you know, the first quarter of the year of 2024, this will go out, and multiples, you know, roughly for a content site between, you know, 30 to 40. And it did get really hot and really heavy through 2020 to 2022, when what actually happened was there was a lot of Amazon aggregators that where people were just, you know, large private equity firms would just acquire a lot of Amazon businesses, and then they were acquiring some blogs as well, and just inflated the prices dramatically. And what really caused that is these private equity firms were competing with one another, where if somebody else had an offer on that business, even before they were doing due diligence, they would put a LOI or put a soft offer on the business, which would be more than a competitor in a different private equity firm, just so they could buy that instead of the other firm buying it. Because there was a big ego off during that period. And it slapped a lot of these private equity firms in the face, where they bought a lot of businesses and didn't really get great results with them, even though they had probably large teams. But they just went on an absolute tear trying to acquire as many businesses as they could. They did, and unfortunately for the owners who built those, they probably did quite an injustice towards those businesses they did purchase. So yeah, multiples did get quite inflated. And they've come back down a little bit now. I'm sure they'll go up again. But that's interesting. So you've moved away from buying to starting and growing. Interesting. How long is it taking you to get to the point where you are, obviously you've seasoned, you've done this quite a lot, but get to the point where these businesses are profiting quite well from start to profit?
For me, it actually takes usually I start to see results a few years in, usually like 2 to 3 years for all my sites. Like it's not really a quick thing. I think other people maybe have bigger teams and they put a lot of capital or just like pour content in. And I've always been someone, I like to do my sites myself. I don't really like to outsource almost anything other than like sometimes content or like very small things. Or website development, I outsource. But I like to just get the highest profit possible. And I also like to do things more slowly and just grow things that are more solid. So I don't try to like rush it or like pour content or links on. That's just not my strategy. And so that's just how I like to approach things.
I like it. What percentage of sites do you start that sort of don't end up continuing growing, and how long does it take you to realize like this isn't something I want to keep putting resources into, when you might have like, I don't know, maybe these are the 10 that you start and then there's two or three that like these end up being the winners and you drop the other ones?
Yeah, I would say I'm the type of person, I have so many ideas and then I see something, get excited, and I start it, like, very just, and then I realize shortly after, like, this wasn't a good idea, or like, this domain just isn't working. Like, I even recently built out an entire site, and I spent, it's actually kind of embarrassing, I don't even want to, like, tally up what I spent, but I actually think I spent about like $2,000 on the domain, like $6,000, maybe even like $8,000 on like website development. And I like grew it out, and then I realized like it wasn't even being like properly indexed by Google. And I kind of let it fall to the side. And that's the most I've ever spent on a site that was like ended up just being tossed aside. And I still have it. It's like kind of just in the background because I don't have the heart to like, you know, kill it. I'm just like, oh, maybe one day it'll kind of, but I think probably like 70% of my stuff, I just don't even, I start it and then it just kind of gets discarded. And I like to have fewer focuses anyway. So like once something's actually working or I see a solid foundation, I'm like, okay, I have like two projects right now or like two focuses, as opposed to having like all 10. And then, yeah, maybe I'll get like a shiny object idea, start something, and then like kind of discard. But like it tends to be once something's working too, it tends to work. And that was how kind of I was when I bought sites, is once it was working, I would just keep it. Like I sold one of my websites, but the rest that were working, I just let run, because why sell it if it's really working well and you're getting cash flow?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. It's a tricky thing with us entrepreneurs. Like, we're really good at being creative, and we've got so many great ideas. At the same time, it's a double-edged sword, because sometimes we, like, something might not be working as well as we think it's working, and then go off and chase another, you know, route. Or sometimes our business will be so good that we're like, yep, cool, this is great, I can leave this now and it's going to continue to do its thing, and I can shift my focus to something else and add something else in. Whereas like it just doesn't work like that. Like, it, and I know that because I bought 3 businesses in 3 years, and I, well, very short, almost it was within like a 2 to 2.5 year period. And then I quit my job and I went traveling, and I was traveling and trying to run 3 businesses. And it was a stupid thing to do because I neglected a lot of the businesses.
Oh, so what happened? Did you come back and fix them, or did some of them die off?
Yeah. So one of them sort of died off, and I was running and managing 2 others, and I came back home. I built another business and I sold one and I kept one. So I had 2 businesses. So I came back to Australia and I built out this business that we're, you know, for the podcast, buyingonlinebusinesses.com, built this business, and then sold one and kept one. It was an e-commerce brand that went well, but I also just left it because this business ended up doing really, really well, and it was making more money for less, like, for the excitement. Like, I really enjoyed this. It was way more fulfilling than the e-commerce business, so I just let that other one just get managed by my manager. And it just like slowly died off. And I think that's just what happens when we have too many assets, where we don't have, like, I had great things put in place. I didn't work in that business for like 4 years. I barely touched it. Like, I probably spent an hour a week on it. I mean, an hour a month on it, just answering questions from my manager. But in hindsight, I probably should have sold it a lot earlier. Have you realized that with any of your sites, where you, like, you might be like hanging on to something and you're like, oh, like maybe I should have sold that like earlier, and just while it was like doing a bit better? I don't know. Like, is this just me?
Yes, that's exactly like my most successful site ever that was making the most I have ever scaled any site to. Like, I was just getting this wonderful cash flow, like just crazy high. And I never once considered selling it. It was just going for like on autopilot for like years. And I was like, yeah, I was working on it and growing it. And it started like around COVID to like drop a little bit. And I was like, okay, it's like dropping, but it's still like very strong. And I just wanted to hold on to it for cash flow. It never crossed my mind at that point to sell it. And it just continued to drop, and I could have sold it at any point. Like, it was dropping, and it would like go for a few months and it was dropping. And at that point, I probably should have sold it because I could have gotten like quite like a lot of money for it, like a very, very significant amount, even while it was dropping. But it just kept it dropping and there was nothing I could do. It was actually like, I think it was penalized by Google. And then also it was like in a niche that was affected by COVID. It was like a restaurant niche. So it just ended up completely kind of like dying off. Like I don't even really make much money from it anymore. And if I had just sold it, I could have gotten such a nice paycheck and used that to like really invest in so many other things. And I think I just like held on to like a dying fish until it died entirely. So I can relate to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of us have been there, and that's just a good for us to just chat about it out and put it out into the public. Because like, if somebody is like, they've got multiple sites and they are really passionate about one, why not get rid of like, and you know, clear house a little bit and then put your resources back into the one that you're passionate about and just full focus on it. There's a really good book called The One Thing by Gary Keller. It's actually circling in my friendship group at the moment. I got thrown this book at, you know, this book at me by a mentor, at one of his events. And he said, you need to read this. Cause like, I'm the typical entrepreneur was like, had like a gazillion ideas and was doing everything. And then each person in my life that I've seen that they've like got too many split focuses or like managing too many things, I give it to them. And then I say, once you finish the book, can you give it to this person? Once you finish the book, can you give it to that person? And it's circling in my friendship group at the moment. And it's really cool because each person now is coming back to me like, oh, you've got the book, cool. And they are like, oh yeah, it's helped me so much. And yeah, that split focus is not, it can be harmful. So I wanted to ask you around types of websites. So what are your favorite types of websites and why, like either to buy or to build?
I personally like ad-based content websites. Like those are the types that I've only bought that type, like when I've bought a full site, because they're so easy to get quick wins on, whether that's switching ad networks, changing the amount of ads and the placement of ads. There's just so many ways you can just really easily get quick revenue wins. And then you can obviously scale with SEO and stuff too. But I like finding ones with like very solid RPMs as well, because then the more you scale, it's just so much easier to get so much more money from it. And they have such high profit margins and you don't have to worry about shipping products or dealing with customers. So by far, content sites have been my favorite to buy and grow.
Yeah. And with the higher RPMs, when you're looking at either maybe buying one, how are you discovering what's got a high RPM versus maybe something that doesn't? Are you just doing that because you're looking at multiple businesses and doing due diligence on multiple and you're looking at the RPMs, or are you doing it based on like a search on the internet for like what niches have a decent RPM?
Yeah, I just do it by business. So like I'll filter when I'm searching to find ones that A, like if they have a ton of traffic for me, even if it's a lower RPM, I'm like, okay, I can maybe work with this because there's so much you can do when it has tons of traffic. So some of the sites I bought one site that had so much traffic and it was like this community of people. So they kept coming back. It had a ton of direct traffic and brand recognition and it had a ton of Google organic. So that's like such a strong base that like when something has traffic like that, I'll consider it. But I just find it. So if you look on Flippa, for example, which is actually where I bought, I think 90% of my sites, you can see, I only look at verified analytics. So if it's verified with tons of traffic and page views, that's one positive. And then you can also see on there the RPM. So you can just calculate that pretty easily by looking at like the page views and then looking at how much it's making each month. And you kind of get an idea just like glancing at it. Once you've looked at a bunch, like, okay, this is a high RPM, this is not. So it is subjective, but like anything, I mean, if it's over like 20 RPM, I'd say that's like solid. And if it's like double that or more, it's like, okay, this is really, really good. You should like really take a look at it But anything over 20 is probably fine. And then even if it's way less and you have tons of traffic, it's like, okay, that's solid too. So I think you kind of get an idea just by glancing at stuff and like, okay, this is something I want.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, it's been interesting. I've noticed RPMs have decreased through 2023 or end of 2022, 2023. It's sort of like across the board, which is interesting. Not a lot of people are stoked about that, but I think that could be the effect of COVID and so many people on the internet, so many people buying things compared to like now.
I think you're right about multiples too. Maybe I should start looking for some deals right now, but I have a feeling that everything is just kind of like slowed recently. And I think I'm also like a real estate agent. It's affecting in like real estate and everything. And I think like everyone's just kind of feeling this like little dip and people aren't spending as much. And like, just, it's kind of like been affecting everyone. And my hope is that it doesn't last for too long, because I think it's like hurting like a ton of people financially, especially like online business owners.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've got this big credit crunch, right? Like in the whole world, where finance through and before COVID was at an all-time low, it was easier to get finance for like very low interest rates. And interest rates, now they're trying to slow down, inflation. And the interest rates have gone up globally around the world. I see this in Australia too, because I buy real estate and buying another property at the moment. And interest rates are quite high. And I know they're getting higher and higher around the world as well. And what that does is it brings up people's mortgages when they own their own primary place of residence, brings up people's mortgages. So they have less money for spending, which makes, spending tighten across the board in their business, in their home, on entertainment expenses and stuff like that. So less money is being spent because we typically have higher repayments if you own a home or if you own assets with finance. And so that's also, I think, what has added to businesses becoming cheaper, because people need the money and they're selling off some assets to be able to afford to still like live expenses with rent and also with, with mortgage repayments and then everything else. So yeah, it's been an interesting, I feel you. And I think a lot of people are also listening and noticing that that's what has happened through 2023 is like, and the end of 2022 is interest rates have increased. Inflation, maybe they're saying, is slowing down. Who really knows? But it's definitely tightened up a lot of things. And I believe it's a really good time to be buying assets right now. I've seen some amazing businesses be bought through this period. And also, I bought some great property, outside of the online business world. I bought some amazing property investments. And I think it's a good time to be buying. It's not great for a lot of people that have over leveraged themselves, which is typically what happens, which is quite cyclical when markets, come and like raise and decline. That's just how the economy works, I guess. But I think you're spot on. Like, it's people listening, it's a bullish time to be buying. And I do believe as interest rates decrease, and I feel that they probably will be doing so in Australia through 2024, if they haven't already in some other places, then when that happens, the opposite effect happens, where people have more spending, they have more finance, and they can go and acquire more things or have more, money for entertainment expenses because they've got some spare cash.
Yes, and I agree with you too. It's funny because I'm actually, I'm closing on a property this week, an investment. I'm actually doing some renovation on it, so I'll send you more info once it's done, because I'm super excited. But like, I was able to get like a very, very good deal, and Austin real estate market has just been booming, and it has kind of come back a little bit this year and a little bit past that. So it's funny because some people are still so hesitant to buy because they think it's like continuing to go down. And nobody can time the market, but I think you can always find a good deal, whether that's in real estate or websites. And right now is a time that you can, I believe you can find a good deal, because people are selling, and I think people have less money to buy, whether that's an website or an asset in cash or an asset using interest rates because they're so high using a mortgage. So I think there's just a lot of opportunity right now for those people who really take the time to look. And that's not to say you should rush into a purchase, like any purchase, but if you really take the time to find something, now is, I believe, a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And what we're talking about is not like financial advice, everybody listening, so don't hold us accountable to this, but it is an interesting discussion. Yeah. It is an interesting discussion because I follow a bunch of people and do my own research, and there is a property 18-year property market cycle, which also fits within like the market cycle of the S&P 500 and you know, the stock market and property market, also the crypto market, which index funds sit with inside as well. And it's interesting to see, and you know, we believe that like we're getting ready, from what I see. The narrative is not like this in the news because there's so much fear-mongering media. But like non-mainstream media, smart people that are sharing these market cycles, where we sit in the market cycle, I feel like from what I've gathered from many sources, we are ready for a bit of a few years of a boom, and then some cooling off. And within property and also within online businesses, like when the media comes out and speaks about there's a, you know, a decline in property in the US market or the Australian market or whatever it is, they may be focusing on like two major areas. It might be like LA and New York, or it might be Melbourne and Sydney in Australia, which it is. But there's markets within markets, and there's always different markets are moving at different paces and different ways. And, you know, if there's smaller markets where people are buying into, you're going to get the growth because more resources might be getting, like this is in property, getting put into that sector. But you can also relate to that to online businesses, where like if something becomes quite trendy or a business model becomes like, you know, very, very popular, people might start getting into that type of asset class. And that might grow over a few years, and then, you know, you ride that wave, and then get out. So, yeah, it's an interesting topic to chat about in terms of not buying but selling. You did say that you've sold one of your businesses. What did you learn from that process in selling? Like, how did you get it set up to sell? Did you tell me about that.
Yeah, I sold it through a broker. I don't know if you've heard of Latonas.
Yes, I have heard of Latonas.
Yes. Yeah, so I sent it to them, and they were able to get it sold. It wasn't that smooth of a process because it went under contract. I think it went under contract, and then that person ended up backing out, and we had to do this like undoing of like escrow and stuff. It was very strange. And for me, it was kind of stressful because like I thought like once it was sold, it would just be a smooth process, but it ended up like they literally completely backed out. I had to like undo all the transfer stuff, and like they took the money out of escrow, and I had to like relist it. And I ended up a few weeks later getting another buyer. It went under contract, and this one went smoothly and it went through. But that was kind of my main hiccup, was it literally fell out of escrow, which I've never heard anyone else talk about that happening to them. So it happened to me though. So
interesting. So you had a asset purchase agreement or a contract of sale signed, and then you were starting to make the transfer, and then it stopped. What was their reasoning like behind that? I would say that's not really it's not really a thing, because it should be going ahead because you got like an asset purchase agreement signed.
Yeah, it's interesting. He did say this was kind of around the time that there was a lot of concern about the new GDPR rules that were coming out a few years ago. And in his cancellation, he was saying that the sites were not GDPR compliant, or that he was, that was his excuse. And I didn't want to push it or take it to court or anything. There was nothing non-compliant about the sites, but I think he was trying to make it into a legal issue so he could back out. And I didn't want to take it to court. And he was actually a lawyer, so he could have like represented himself in court. And like the site, like I sold it for a solid amount of money, but it's not worth going to court over. I know those fees can add up so quickly just to get someone to pay you like a smaller chunk of money. To me, it's like so easy to lose in a lawsuit, and I don't want to take the time and energy. So I didn't want to fight a lawyer and, or anyone in court. So I just decided to let him drop out.
Yeah. I would have been in the same boat as you for sure. Sorry to hear about that experience though. So that ended up being a good sale. What were the things that you needed to put in place when you decided, oh, I want to sell this business? Like what did you do to get it ready for sale? Or was it already like, just let's just sell it as is?
Yeah, I pretty much just sold it as is. It was a pretty just steady traffic site. And I just made sure I had all the records of revenue by month. And I made sure I had like it ready to give analytics access and to give AdSense access, because I was using AdSense. So it wasn't even that much. It was like very basic, but just so everybody could have all the information they needed, and just basically gathering revenue and deciding the price and then listing it for sale on Latonis.
Cool. And I'm just going to a question for all the listeners. What sort of, like, since you've been in this space and you've bought a fair few sites and grown a few, what advice would you give to people that are thinking about buying a content site or an online business?
My advice would be, make sure that you are very aware of the financials and very aware of your specific plan to earn back the money you put into it, and have like a very specific timeline, very specific plan, because without that, you could end up just buying the site and maybe just letting it run, not managing it carefully, and maybe not even making your money back. And I think that's probably what makes it risky. But if you have a clear plan and you see how it's currently under monetized or under traffic tied, you can easily have a clear plan in place to make sure it's a good investment.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I like that. And how, like, what's your goal with your content sites now? Like where, what are you wanting to do? Like, what's your outlook look like over the next few years with either maybe growing more or starting more or buying more? And what do you have, intentions mm-hmm. for those?
So, yeah, I also have like an affiliate type site I'm working on too. This one I've grown myself. And then I have the Hercio brand. Yeah, and I do still have like a content site. I just want to keep like, I think they perform the best when I set like a specific goal for each site and have a specific strategy, because I tend to just kind of, like you said, it's kind of tempting to think, oh, I can just go live my life and let the sites run on their own. But you never really see growth results when you do that, and you definitely don't see the best results. So for me, it's important to set those specific goals and create a strategy. And right now, my main focus is traffic for each site. So just really focusing on the SEO. And for one of my sites, it has a larger profit per sale. So I'm really focusing on, I'm actually running paid ad campaigns to it right now. So that was my specialty. It is my specialty, but I've never done it for any of my own sites. I've only done it for other people. So it's kind of fun to be able to use that right now. So right now my focus is traffic for my sites, organic, and then also one of my sites paid, and just really trying to scale them with specific profit and traffic goals right now.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. Well, I'm excited to hear more as time progresses. So Yeah, thank you so much for coming on and sharing, you know, your experiences buying sites, growing sites, and in the space. So you've mentioned your brand, Her CEO. I'm going to drop a link to that in the show notes. Is that where people can go and find you?
Yes, people are welcome to visit the site. You can subscribe to the email list. People on my list love it, and they, whenever you reply to an email on it, I always respond. So it's a great way to get in contact with me and ask questions. And I also send out website deals and just stories about my own sites and case studies. So I really encourage everybody to sign up there if you're interested in talking to me, asking questions, seeing case studies, or buying websites. You can sign up for a list where you only get the website buying emails too. And yeah, you can email me directly too, but you'll for sure get a response if you reply to an email. So I encourage you to subscribe.
Yeah, awesome. Guys, check it out. Stacey, thank you so much for coming on. Everybody is listening, thank you for listening. If you are buying a site or know somebody buying a site, make sure you share this podcast episode with them. Give them a gift of giving. It helps us grow the episode, helps Stacey and I help more people and do the right thing in the space. And also it helps people that are getting in the space not get burnt, not buying these sites with revenue that's inflated, that is not actually what they think it is when they're purchasing. Because Stacey's been there, I've been there and bought dud businesses, and we want to make sure that we make this environment a far safer place. And that's what we do here at Buying Online Business. So thanks, guys, and I'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Jared. I appreciate it, and I'll see you guys later.
Hey, YouTube watcher, if you thought that video was good, you should check out this video here on the two best types of websites beginners should buy. Or check out my playlist on how I made my first 100K from buying websites and how to do due diligence. Check it out. It's an awesome playlist. You'll enjoy it.